Today's first reading in the prophet Isaiah, there is a word of prophecy, a declaration of the love of God for his people. So often this is the prophet's job, a reminder to speak to the people who find themselves in a place of disbelief, in a place where lies are being spoken, where they are in the midst of difficulty, where they cannot see the love of God tangibly around them. And the prophet's words to speak of this love to them. He uses bridal language. No longer shall people call you forsaken. No longer will you be called the desolate. For people will refer to you as my delight and your land espoused. The prophet is using bridal language in order to speak of the destiny of the people that God himself, like a bridegroom rejoicing in his bride, your God shall rejoice in you. My brothers and sisters, it moves our desire for salvation from one level to a completely different level. It is one thing for someone to step into our life, to help, to bring about restoration or redemption or salvation. But it is another thing for that one then to enter into a relationship of love. Be like a firefighter that comes into your home in the midst of the fire and pulls you out of the fire to save you. And then 4 months later, the firefighter and the woman he pulled out of the fire are sitting across from me at my desk saying, "Father, we'd like to do our preparation for marriage." It takes it to a whole new level. And the beautiful irony that we see in the Gospel of John, that his first public miracle, Jesus' first public miracle, the one who has come into the world to save the world, the Messiah, our Savior, manifests his power and the manifestation of his love in the context of a wedding. Not just a wedding, but the wedding feast, the celebration part, the rejoicing part. I say it shifted from one level to the next. It is the same shift, the difference between water and wine. We speak very candidly, you're all Catholic, so this is the deal. There is a huge difference between water and wine. You imagine, like, at a big banquet, everyone's dressed up and everything, and the person grabs the glass and says, "Everybody, raise your water. I would like to propose a toast." "Raise your water." "Sure. Could you get me the water, please, to fill mine up?" We don't make toasts with water because it doesn't possess that which expresses the joy of the moment, the gravity of the occasion. But they go on downtown to a very expensive steak restaurant, ordering the perfect cut of meat, cooked to the perfect way, and having a nice glass of red wine with it, nice Cabernet, a little cooler than room temperature, all of the flavors bringing out the flavor in the steak. It doesn't happen with a glass of water, my brothers and sisters. Jesus uses concrete things to bring about and express a transition and a change that is absolutely significant. Just as water becoming wine, the great difference between the two expresses a new birth, a new relationship, a new celebration. the manifestation of God and His presence amongst His people, it begins today. And this is important, my brothers and sisters, that we recognize this new level of intimacy. Because in this level of intimacy, we see Jesus drawing His bride into the mission of salvation. It is not a passive thing where we sit back and then just are saved. As if this, I mean, for many of us, this would be sufficient. But the intimacy that Jesus longs to possess with His bride of the church is that in that intimacy, He would share everything with her. Not just the salvation, not just redemption, not just His life, not just His Father, not just His mother, not just His Spirit, but that He would actually share His mission of redemption with His bride, the church. That we would enter in. That the two would become one. You expect nothing less from your married vocations. That the two of you would share one mission of family. Anything less would not be the beauty of the covenant of marriage. The beauty of the covenant of marriage is spoken of and informed by the mystery of Jesus' relationship with His bride, the church. We are invited to share in this mission. And how do we do that? This is always the tough question every week, isn't it? We can talk about what the readings say, what they declare, what they speak to our heart, but then how do we make it concrete in our life? How do we make it tangible? In the gospel text, Jesus does not do this miracle alone. Do you recognize that? The servants, who in Greek the term is diakonoi, where we get our term deacon, the servants help Him. Do this, they do it. Do this, they do it. Mother Mary is there, prompting Him, inviting Him to manifest His power for this celebration. My hour has not yet come. He calls her woman. Why would a Jewish man refer to his mother as woman? It's not a slight, my brothers and sisters. He is connecting her with the woman of promise in the book of Genesis. When God, in speaking about the punishment that will take place, or the first sign after speaking of the punishment, will speak of the first sign of redemption that will come. I will put enmity between the woman and the serpent. The woman, gune, Jesus uses that term in speaking of His mother today. He's drawing that connection. He is connecting these two events. That declaration of enmity between the serpent and the woman, and Jesus connecting His mother with that mysterious figure, that mysterious woman of declaration of the good news that will come. Mary has a role in this. The servants have a role in this. Even the head waiter who must sip the water that has become wine and pull the bridegroom and say, "What was wrong with you? Why didn't you serve this first? You've saved the good wine until now." Even that declaration reveals the miracle. How do we make it concrete in our life, my brothers and sisters? You may have gotten in the mail in the last few weeks, I just got it last week, the invitation to participate in the Archbishop's call to share. It is something that happens every year at this time. We get it in the mail, and I don't know how you receive it. When I look at that letter, part of me, my heart's like, oh, again, the invitation. But it's a little different for me this year because that new job that the bishop gave me, like, I'm supposed to know about all of that stuff, the Archbishop's call to share. I'm supposed to help them to make sure that it's engaged into the actual gospel proclamation, that the work that they're doing finds root in the gospel, that we're being good stewards of those resources. That to sit in, I think there was like 8 or 9 scheduled meetings. One, it's like an all-day meeting, like 9 in the morning until 5 at night. I said, are you kidding me? They said, well, Father, we got to go through the allocations, all of the, you know, what money goes where, what money goes where, and what money goes where. I'm just like, I didn't ask you what we're going to be doing. I said, are you kidding me that we're going to be doing it for literally 7 hours? So the point being, my brothers and sisters, is that little invitation to participate has become very real to me. And not only this year will they be asking of my financial resources, but they will be asking of my time to share in this mission. I invite you, I printed it off. I went 20 minutes in my homily last night, and I was like, I'm not going to read it again. There are 2 pages of line items in which the resources from the Archbishop's call to share is applied to. Many of these ministries are right here in Wyandotte County and in Johnson County. And if you say to yourself, well, I'm not real sure about sharing in the Archbishop's call to share because you know, I don't know, that money goes other places and I don't know those things and this and that, I encourage you to go and visit them. To go and visit the Crisis Pregnancy Center. To go and visit Project Rachel. To go and to participate in a marriage enrichment retreat. I encourage you, even if that's too far away, I encourage you to walk next door and walk through our school and talk to our teachers about their continuing religious education and formation, which is supported by the Archbishop's call to share, or to look at the children. And now you can't really ask the children, how many of you are receiving scholarship money from the Catholic Education Foundation so that your parents can send you here? Many of the kids probably have no idea. But I know at least, and I don't so know a specific number, but I'm lowballing it so that I know that I'm accurate. At least 50% of our students receive support from the Catholic Education Foundation, which receives support from the Archbishop's call to share. My brothers and sisters, if it remains an idea, then it is easily dismissed. But when it becomes concrete, when it stands in front of you, when it has a face smiling back at you, you go to Bishop Ward and you see the students there and the teachers there and all of the support that goes to help to keep that school alive and prosperous, then it's no longer simply a letter and words on a paper, but it becomes an invitation to share in the mission. My assignment in this is at least 3 years. It might be longer. But I figure by the time I'm done doing this job, I will know everything about the Archbishop's call to share that I would ever want to know. And so I say that to you because if you have questions about it, if you have objections to it, if you see something in this ministry or that ministry and say, I wish they didn't support that, or I wish they supported this, then bring that to me. I mean, like you've got access here, okay? I'm not just your pastor, but my role in this is to help to do all of those things. Because as I've reflected on my job, this chairperson of the Clergy Advisory Council to the Archbishop's call to share, if I've reflected on that, the thing that stirs up in my heart is, how do I convey to the people that this is real? How do I convey to them every year when it's the same mission that's being supported year after year after year? How do I bring out newness to it? How do I reflect the new and the good and the fruit that is being produced from these things? You know, the reality is, in the envelope you receive in the mail, you're only being invited to participate in one way, in the gift of your finances. And this is necessary, my brothers and sisters. But I would encourage you to get on the website, pull up this list, Find one that is near you. Find something that interests you and say, I'm going to go visit them and I'm going to put faces to this mission and I'm going to learn about that mission. Or I'm going to learn about it so much that I decide I'm going to start volunteering to support that mission because I see the good that it is doing. My brothers and sisters, I don't want your money. I want you. And I realize that the events and the things that are being done by the Archbishop's call to share are so much bigger than we are capable of doing just as a parish. We can't afford to have our own high school. Can you imagine? I can't. That just makes me scared even thinking about it. We can't have our own crisis pregnancy center. We can't have our own office of youth. We can't have our own office of Hispanic ministry. We can't have we can't afford these things on our own. But we are doing it. The bride of Christ is doing it together, collectively. And the beautiful thing about it, my brothers and sisters, is that there are many parishes that are on the periphery of our diocese who are miles and miles and miles from the nearest place of support for the Archbishop call to share, and they still support it. Because they recognize that it is a mission that is taking place in some other part of the diocese, in some other part of the body of Christ. That second reading today is perfect. Every one of us is given unique gifts, and those gifts all come from the same Spirit. We each have our own mission, yet we have one Lord. We each have our own difficulties in our prayer requests, but we have the same God that answers them. But a beautiful expression of our unity in mission. I know that we've been asked a lot, especially in our finances with the new capital campaign and all of that. Good news on that. The donations from this parish, the pledges, have just crept over $173,000. I was like, what? That's amazing. That means in the next 3 to 5 years, we are going to have an income of $42,000 back to this parish in order to invest in the transforming things that we need to do here as well. But I ask you, my brothers and sisters, to look at this and consider it for what it is, an invitation to participate in the greater mission. It's real. The people that this money will serve and will go to help their mission is real. And so is the request. Last thing I would say, I'm going to go 20 minutes this morning too. How about that? Didn't know I was so good at this. Anyway, Mother Mary, her role in the gospel today, it's a very interesting thing. They cut out some line at the beginning because it doesn't seem to fit with the narrative. It says, 3 days later, there was a wedding at Cana in Galilee. 3 days later. You know, it's interesting. If you count from the beginning of the Gospel of John until the wedding feast of Cana, it is exactly the amount of days that the lamb must stay with his mother before he can be sacrificed. There is nothing insignificant in the Gospel of John. John's Gospel begins by John the Baptist pointing out Jesus and declaring, "This is the Lamb of God who will take away the sins of the world." And then the next day, and the next day, and the next day, and 3 days later, and they add them all together, and we see that is exactly the number of days that that lamb must remain with his mom before he can be sacrificed. The reality is that Mother Mary plays a significant role in this mission because she realizes that what she asks her son to do means that her relationship with him will change forever. Do you understand that? That quiet little life of Nazareth, of her son taking on the role of the carpenter and doing the work and that little peaceful home in Nazareth will change forever because of what she asked her son to do today in the gospel. With what she asked him to do will come great suffering for her. There is sacrifice involved in her yes to the mission, to participate in the mission of her son. And I just acknowledge that sacrifice, and I acknowledge it in you, my brothers and sisters. I'm not trying to make anybody feel guilty or anything like that. I just want to affirm and recognize the sacrifices that you make to participate in the mission requires us to sacrifice. And I acknowledge them, and I see them, and I affirm them. And I want you to understand that it is in accordance that you are doing what you are called to do. And I just affirm that in you today. The call to intimate love that Jesus gives to his bride, the church, is a call to share in every part of what he is doing for the world. And I encourage us to respond with all of our heart to say yes to the Lord and to share in that mission as we can. Amen.